Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Theology is the study of the gods and religious practices, while mythology is an allegorical, a symbolic collection of stories that draw from theology in an effort to communicate the gods' qualities in both an educational and an entertaining way. In other words, mythology draws from theology, but theology does not draw from mythology. And therefore, the myths are subject to symbolic interpretation and deliberation, and they're not meant to be taken literally. Often, the myths were created by deeply spiritual and religious people within the mystery schools in an effort to convey multi-layered meanings and messages from the gods. Certain information in the myths could be understood by everybody, while high-level concepts could only be interpreted by those who studied the nature of the gods and the universe. For example, the students of the mystery schools. That's why we should not take myths on a surface level. I'm George Lizos, spiritual teacher, psychic healer, and number one best-selling author. It wasn't long ago that I was stuck in a soul-draining job, held back by fears and limiting beliefs that stopped me from following my purpose and making a positive impact in the world. Fast forward past many hours of inner work and lessons learned, I now write books and teach courses to help you find and follow your purpose too. I created the Lit Up Lightworker podcast to empower you with simple, actionable, step-by-step spiritual tools and practices to overcome what holds you back and light up the world. If you're a spiritual seeker yearning for a more soulful and purposeful life, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, Lightworker, and welcome to the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. I'm your host, George Lizos, and this is my second episode in my six-part series all about the Greek gods and goddesses in celebration of my new book, Secrets of Greek Mysticism, A Modern Guide to Daily Practice with the Greek Gods and Goddesses. If you haven't ordered the book yet, it's available to order everywhere books are sold and on Amazon as well. Go to GreekMysticism.com to get all the details. And when you get the book, you also get a free workshop with me all about meeting your Greek guardian god or and goddess, because you may have both a guardian god and a guardian goddess. And you may have more than one. So we're going to do a meditation in that workshop to help you figure out who your guiding god is. If you enjoy this episode and the podcast, make sure to rate and subscribe. That's really helpful when it comes to letting other people discover the podcast as well. Make sure to share your insights with me on Instagram. I love hearing from you and I love getting your opinion about what you think, how you feel, what you've learned. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, I would love to hear them. And it's also a great idea to share this episode with friends that you know will enjoy it. So the first episode of the series, we talked about whether the Greek gods and goddesses are real or not. So make sure to go back and listen to that episode, because I share such invaluable information about the Greek gods and goddesses that many of you won't be aware of, because we're so indoctrinated in thinking about the Greek gods and goddesses as myths and idols, and we don't know the theology about it. So I talk a lot about the true essence of the Greek gods and goddesses. And this episode, we're talking about the difference between Greek mythology and Greek religion, because the two are vastly different. As a result of Christianity's takeover that happened in the later antiquity and the suppression of the old religion, there was a propaganda aimed at suppressing the true meaning of the ancient Greek religion and all ancient religions, and replacing that with Christian traditions. As a result, whenever we learn about ancient Greece, we learn about the mythology of the ancient Greek gods and goddesses. Like, when I tell people I've written a book about the ancient Greek gods, they are instantly like, oh, I love Greek myths. I love Greek mythology. So nobody takes it seriously. We think that when we talk about the Greek gods and goddesses, we're talking about their myths. But the myths and the true essence of who the gods are completely different. There's a distinction between Greek mythology and Greek theology, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to share what those differences are, and I'm going to explain what Greek religion is really about. So let's start by talking a little bit about the different types of religion. And by the way, I went into way more detail when it comes to this in the first episode, so make sure to go back and listen to that one as well afterwards. When we think about religions, there are two main categories of religions. We have natural, earth-based religions, the pagan religions, and then we have founded religions. Natural, earth-based religions, they are the religions of different cultures that are geographically situated around the world and their relationship with the universe, their relationship with nature. So natural religions evolved as a result of people's interaction and conception of what God, the universe, infinite intelligence is, as a result of their experience with the natural world and with the universal laws. So all the pagan religions you have in mind, the Celtic religion, the Norse religion, the ancient Greek religion, the Hindu religion, all the ancient traditional religions, they are natural religions. And then we have founded religions. Now, the Abrahamic religions are all founded religions because they were founded by a specific person or said person. So the founded religions, they're based on the conception of what source is according to a human being. For example, with Christianity, we have Jesus telling the world that this is what God is, this is who God is, and setting the rules and the foundations and the regulations as to how to honor God and how to have a relationship with God. Unfortunately, founded religions have managed to repress natural religions. They have managed to dominate over many years, but there is a resurgence right now of natural earth-based religions. It's been going on for a few years. And when it comes to like religion and all kinds of things, really, there's a cycle. In the same way that the economy goes through a boom and then a recession, religions as well keep on changing. So we went from natural religions to founded religions, and now there is this decline of founded religions and the resurgence of natural religions again. The ancient Greek religion then is a natural religion. It has to do with our relationship with nature, with natural laws, with universal laws. Talking about universal laws, let's talk about the foundation of Greek religion, which is the universe, the cosmos, the gods, and humans. So when I talk about the universe, I mean the universe with a capital U, the creator, spirit, source, infinite intelligence, or how the ancient Greeks called it, true being, the all that is, that ever was, and that ever will be. And when I talk about the cosmos, I talk about the physical universe, the universe we know with our planet, our galaxy, the multiple galaxies, etc. Now, when talking about the universe with a capital U from the ancient Greek perspective, there are certain characteristics that source has. So, true being, source, infinite intelligence, the all, the creator, spirit, the universe, is absolute, infinite, unchangeable, and loving. These are the four main characteristics of source. Source is absolute, meaning there cannot be anything outside of it. It's infinite, meaning it's constantly expanding and growing. It's unchangeable, because if you were to change it, that means it wouldn't be absolute. So it's unchangeable, nothing changes within it. It's just constantly expanding, but it's not change, it's expansion and growth within something that already exists. And then it's loving, it's pure, it has a really high vibrational frequency. The cosmos, the physical universe, is an extension of the universe. It's the universe materializing a part of it into an organized whole that we call the cosmos. That's why the word cosmos is a Greek word that comes from the Greek word kosmima, which means jewel. So the cosmos is essentially like a jewel. It is the energy of the universe manifested within something that's organized, that's structured, that has attained harmony, that's perfect. And that's the cosmos, the physical universe. Now, the gods and goddesses, they are extensions and mirrors of the universe with a capital U. They are the universe multiplied into separate beings, which are also still part of the whole. So rather than the gods simply being energies, deities, or archetypes that form part of the universe, like, for example, most other spirit guides, the gods and goddesses are the universe. They share the universe's qualities of being absolute, infinite, unchangeable, and loving. They embody universal laws and functions to which they're also subject. And they share the universe's mission to create and sustain harmony and order in the physical cosmos. So every single universal law or function you can think of, there is a god guiding that. For example, Aphrodite, she guides over the creation, the formation of things, bringing things to life. Poseidon guides change and transformation. Artemis helps us express the raw feminine energy that's present within us all, this unstructured energy that's so needed in the creative process. Hephaestus helps us create things, like literally create things with our hands, so he has a more masculine energy when it comes to the creative process. Athena, on the other hand, it's all about creation as well, but she's all about strategy and wisdom and building civilizations with bringing together our different tools and practices and qualities. So each god rules over different laws and functions that I talk all about in Secrets of Greek Mysticism.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And as I said, the gods, they're loving, they're unchangeable, they're absolute, they're infinite. They cannot be confined within a physical body, and they cannot be confined by physical space either. They're ever present. So now that you have this foundation as to what Greek religion is, okay, the basics, let's go a little bit deeper by comparing mythology and theology. So the most important thing to understand about mythology is that it's different from theology, in that theology is the study of the gods and religious practices, while mythology is an allegorical, a symbolic collection of stories that draw from theology in an effort to communicate the gods' qualities in both an educational and an entertaining way. In other words, mythology draws from theology, but theology does not draw from mythology. And therefore, the myths are subject to symbolic interpretation and deliberation, and they're not meant to be taken literally. Often, the myths were created by deeply spiritual and religious people within the mystery schools in an effort to convey multi-layered meanings and messages from the gods. Certain information in the myths could be understood by everybody, while high-level concepts could only be interpreted by those who studied the nature of the gods and the universe. For example, the students of the mystery schools. That's why we should not take myths on a surface level. If a god is described as a god of war from a mythological standpoint, it doesn't mean that that's the actual meaning of the god. For example, Ares is described as the god of war. But really, when you look at Ares's qualities, he's all about bravery and courage. These are his two virtues. He's all about this raw, unbridled power, force, and aggression that's sometimes needed, because sometimes the most loving thing we can do is fight. What if you're getting bullied and someone is beating you up? Are you going to stay there and send them love and light? No. You're going to fight back. You're going to protect yourself because you don't have any other choice. That is Ares' energy. But when we see Ares as simply the god of war just because he was portrayed as such in myths, then we completely lose sight of who Ares' energy and law he guides over really are. So to give you a very practical idea as to the difference between myths and theology, let's consider the myth of the golden apple of discord, which is said to have led to the Trojan War. So as the myth goes, during a feast of the gods at the wedding of Peleus and Thetis, Ares, the goddess of discord, tossed a golden apple as a prize for the most beautiful goddess. And this ignited a vanity-fueled quarrel among Hera, Athena, and Aphrodite. And the three goddesses agreed to Zeus's suggestion to let Paris of Troy choose the fairest one. And Paris chose Aphrodite. So that is the fact of the myth. In a first-level, literal, superficial interpretation, you see gods that compete, feel jealousy, they feel resentment, they get caught up in a childish fight about who's prettiest. But when you interpret this myth from a symbolic and theological perspective, you see something completely different. So the gods feasting together stands for their hypercosmic powers and their involvement in the creation and running of the cosmos. The golden apple that's thrown by the goddess Ares symbolizes the world, which is created out of opposites, the divine masculine and the divine feminine. The three goddesses' quarrel over the world signifies the various gifts and qualities that each of these three goddesses bestowed upon the earth. And Paris, being human and overpowered by his senses, can only see Aphrodite's obvious gifts, her beauty, for example, and disregards the other goddesses' qualities and gifts. And thus, he gives Aphrodite the apple. So do you see how this interpretation is completely different and present completely different gods and goddesses than what the surface level interpretation of the myth does? Think about every single myth you know about the Greek gods and goddesses and how the gods are characterized. That's not who the gods are. You need to approach them from a symbolic perspective. However, it's also really important to note here that those myths, many of them, have been written down and survived over the years, but they have also been rewritten and retold so many times that their original essence and message and story has been distorted, has been changed, and therefore not all myths can be interpreted. And those that can be interpreted, we can't really know much about their interpretation because a lot of the information has been lost. A lot of that interpretation hasn't been passed down because it was learned and communicated orally within mystery schools. Mystery schools didn't have manuals. That's why we know so little about them. So although we do have some information about how to analyze myths from a symbolic perspective, it's very limited. So we should always take myth interpretation with a pinch of salt. But that brings me to my earlier point that the gods are different mythologically than they are theologically. And in Secrets of Greek Mysticism, it is the first book that doesn't just talk about the myths. Actually, I rarely talk about the myths. I focus on the theology, on the spiritual presence of the gods and goddesses. Specifically, I focus on the concept of the arete. Arete is a Greek word that means virtue in English. Arete was the foundation of Greek religion. It formed part of a value system that consisted of dozens of virtues acting as guideposts for living in accordance with the gods. So each god presides over certain virtues, and the goal was to understand and adopt these virtues in daily life. And doing so brought people closer to living life in alignment and in the image of the gods, following our unique life purpose, and therefore ascending on their soul's journey. Examples of these virtues include justice, courage, friendship, prudence, and magnanimity, all of which you can find woven in Greek myths, in Greek history and philosophy. In each of the chapters that I talk about the Greek gods and goddesses, I talk about their two main virtues. And think of those virtues as essentially the core of ancient Greek religion. It's how we should live our lives in accordance and in alignment with the gods so that we may live fulfilling lives. So every single month that I follow the Greek Wheel of the Year, and by the way, I will do an episode about the Greek Wheel of the Year, so make sure to look out for that when it's out. We work with a different god every single month, and we celebrate a specific festival that's based on the Earth's cycle around the sun. And each month, we have two virtues that we're supposed to follow and take on and practice the virtues of that specific god of the month. And that's our guidance, essentially, through the month, the vibe of the month, the aim of the month, to embody that virtue more and more. Yes, we're supposed to embody and live by these virtues throughout the entire year, but every month we have two virtues to focus on for that month so we can master it before we move on to the next one. I hope that makes sense. If you have any questions, by the way, I'm more than happy to answer them. So make sure to reach out to me on Instagram and I'm happy to do so. And of course, in the book, I share all the answers as well. And the final thing I want to mention here is the difference between religion and philosophy. Because when we talk about Greek religion, it's important to know what the boundaries are of what Greek religion is. Greek religion only cared about guiding humans live a godly life from the moment they were born until the moment they died. What happened before birth and after death was not the domain of religion. It was a domain of philosophy. So the ancient Greeks had various philosophical schools. The Platonist school, Aristotelian school of philosophy. We had the Epicureans, the Stoics, the Orphics, etc. The Pythagoreans, for example, is another one. And each philosophical school had different ideas about the afterlife, about the journey of the soul. For example, the Stoics did not believe in reincarnation. Platonists and the Orphics, they did believe in reincarnation. So They all belonged to the same Greek religion. They all had the structure of the Greek religion when it comes to living life on earth. But when it comes to those philosophical questions, they all belong to different philosophical schools and they coexisted with one another peacefully for the most part. Now, personally, I find value in all of the philosophical schools, but the one I'm more in alignment with is the Orphic philosophical school, which does believe in reincarnation. So in the book, my perspective follows the Orphic perspective more so than, for example, the Stoic one. And this brings me to the end of this episode. I hope you enjoy this crash course of ancient Greek religion versus mythology. I hope I shifted a little bit your perspective and understanding about how to understand the Greek gods and goddesses in Greek religion. I hope I got you interested in Greek spirituality. And of course, you can read more in Secrets of Greek Mysticism. Don't forget to grab your free workshop. You can go to GreekMysticism.com to get all the details about that. And make sure to come on Instagram and let me know how you enjoyed this episode. And I will see you in a couple of weeks with another episode. The next one will be all about the Greek gods and goddesses and their powers, their virtues, their essence. I'm excited to talk to you about that. Thank you for listening to the Lit Up Lightworker podcast. Before you go, make sure to grab your free workbook to find your life purpose at georgelizas.com/life purpose.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.